Hey, you're so welcome to Open Arms Church. My name is Sean Booth, and today is week two of our series, Hope on the Horizon. You know, as we get ready to celebrate Christmas, it's so important to remember that Jesus is the hope of the world, and Christmas is all about celebrating this hope. You know, I'm very aware that many this year are feeling hopeless and feeling less hope than ever before. So we want to declare over your lives that there is hope on the horizon. You know, maybe this year you're feeling in a place that it has left you feeling depleted of energy and strength. Maybe it's left you feeling exhausted, burdened, worried and weary and anxious. And I want to encourage you, and I want you to hear me today. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. This is not the end, nor will it always be like this. This weight will not crush you. This season will not suffocate you. This struggle will not defeat you, for the Lord your God is with you. Jesus is with you. Hope is on its way. Hope is on the horizon. You know, God's word says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you what? A hope and a future." We truly believe as a church that there is hope on the horizon, and his name is Jesus. So I really hope you're getting excited for Christmas this year. I know that many of you are just waiting and hoping for the end of the year to come, for this year to be over. But last week after church, last Sunday, we managed to convince my wife, Jillian, to put the tree up, which we did. It's finally up in our household. I hope it's up in yours as well. But it really feels like for us, for me and the boys and Jill, like we've got the festive spirit. We're getting ready for Christmas. And we're so glad that you've joined with us today. If you're watching on Facebook, I want you to take the opportunity just to press the share button. Share this hope with your world. And also, if you're watching on YouTube, just hit the like button. It just helps us get the word out. And then I'd love you to go grab your Bible, grab a notebook and pen, and let's dive in together to see and hear what God wants to say to us. So last week, we looked at the story of the lost son. We saw that the son was not just lost, that he was hiding. He was hiding from his father. He was hiding from who he really was because of his sin and because of the shame that had gripped him. And like us, you know, we can choose to hide and cover up certain areas of our life, cover up, maybe even run away from God and stay away from him. And I believe that God is calling us to run to him so that we can receive his forgiveness and be accepted as his son and as his daughter. And so this week, I want to look at the story and look at it from a different perspective and actually look at it from the perspective of the Father. I want to speak to you today on the Father's love. The Father's love. I'm very aware that this can be really difficult for many of us as we can struggle to comprehend that God is our Father. We can struggle often because of the relationship we may have with our earthly father, especially if our earthly father was absent, whether that was physically or emotionally. We struggle especially if our earthly father has disappointed us or let us down or hurt us in some way. To then relate to and see God as our Father, it is incredibly difficult. Yet, this is how Jesus taught us to see God. It's in fact how he taught us to pray. And the words we're so familiar with is our Father who art in heaven. See, Jesus was God's son, but it just the same, me and you are God's sons and God's daughters. In Mark chapter 1, we see that after Jesus was baptized, God spoke to Jesus. And he said these words, he says, "You are my son with whom I am well pleased." And I believe he says the same to you and to me. He says, "You are my son. You are my daughter with whom I am well pleased." And I believe today that you are to hear these words and to be encouraged, that your Father loves you, that he is pleased by you, that he is proud of you. And no matter how far you may have wandered away, no matter how far that you may have gone, no matter what you may have done even, no matter even if your faith has gone lukewarm, I encourage you, turn back, start again, come to your Father. You may be shamed by your sin. You may be embarrassed by your past. You may be struggling in your pain and your brokenness and your pride. Well, God, your Father, is running towards you with open arms. And the question is, will you run towards him? And will you allow him to wrap his arms around you of his love and his grace and his mercy, to clothe you in his love, to clothe you in his righteousness and in his robe of honor? Turn with me today to Luke chapter 15, verses 20 to 24. I want to give you this story in a nutshell. We see that we have a dad who has two sons. The younger son comes to him asking for his inheritance in advance. The dad then sells his property, divides up his property and his wealth, gives it to the younger son and the older son. We see the older son, he stays at home, but the younger son goes and travels the world. And as he goes and he travels the world, he lives life to the full without any regard for his future. And it says that he wasted every penny that he had. He spent all that he had. And we see that he ends up being left starving and homeless, having to work as a pig feeder, getting to a place with completely no hope. And so one day he decides that he's going to go back home and he's going to ask for his father's forgiveness and to be received as a servant rather than as a son. So we pick it up in verse 20. It says, so he got up and he went to his father. Now, we all expect that when the son comes home to his dad, that his father's going to bait the head off him, just like any Irish father or mother would if they saw and heard what their son had done. You know, it's what we would all expect, some sort of penance or punishment, some sort of, you know, severe consequences for his actions. But listen to what happens instead. It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. So here's the first thing I want us to learn together about the father's love from this story. If you're taking notes and write this down, here's the first thing. The father was waiting for the son. The father was waiting for the son. If you're taking notes, write this down. He is waiting for me. He is waiting for you. You see, it said his father saw him in the distance, still a long way off. How could this be? It was because the father was out waiting for his son. He was looking for his son. He was hoping that one day his boy might come home. And what's interesting is when you go right to the end of the story in verse 24, it says these words. The father says, this son of mine was dead and is alive again. Now, it was more than likely that we could presume that the family had presumed that the son was in fact dead. Maybe they had heard whispers of the life that he'd been living, all the things that he'd been done, maybe no one knowing where he was. And yet it says the father still had hope. He held on to that small sliver of hope, hoping that somehow, some way, his boy would come home. That one day as he would look out from his porch, that he might see on the horizon his son coming home. Maybe the other family members had tried to convince the father just to give up hope. Stop waiting. Stop being expectant. Stop looking out. Look, you could just move on with your life. Just let it go. Maybe you could be using your time and your effort into other things rather than wasting it on this. But the father waited patiently. He was expectant. He was hopeful. And I want to say to you today that no matter how far you have gone, no matter how stale or stagnant your relationship with God has grown, your father is waiting for you and he is hopeful for your return and he's looking out to see you coming home. And when he sees you coming back, he will run towards you and receive you with his love. Likewise, I believe that we can learn as sons and daughters of God to be more like our father, choosing to hold on to hope rather than giving hope away, choosing maybe to wait a little longer, choosing just to stay another while, choosing to maybe to hold on to that faith, and maybe the last bit of faith that I have, rather than giving it up. There's a question I want to ask you. What is in your life right now that could otherwise be presumed dead, but you are holding on with your last scraps of hope? What dream are you holding on to with your fingertips, trying to hold on before it slips away? What are you praying for? What are you waiting patiently for? What are you hopeful for and expectant for? Maybe it's for a loved one who has fallen away, and you're earnestly praying that they would come back and further salvation. Maybe it's for someone who is destroying their life right in front of your eyes and you feel helpless to do anything about it. Maybe it's a dream of finding the right person, or starting a family, or purchasing your first home, or maybe it's a dream and a hope for a job, or a new job, and one that you would like. Maybe it's for a promotion, or an increase in your income, or a greater standard of living for you and for your family. Maybe it's healing for a disease. Maybe it's restoration of a broken relationship. Maybe it's finally that answer to that unanswered prayer that you've had for many years. Are you holding on, or have you given up hope? And I want to encourage you today, don't let go just yet. Wait a little longer. Hold on a little more. Keep waiting patiently, and just like the Father, stay searching, be expectant, and remain hopeful. You know, last week at the end of my sermon, I made this statement. I believe to say it again, that the best is yet to come. I truly believe that. The best is yet to come for you and for your family and in your marriage and in your career and in your finances and in your relationship with God and in your relationship with others. And there are some of you that are here today, and you're at that place where you are ready to let go. You are ready to give up. You are ready just to give up hope and stop holding on. And I want to urge you today. I want to encourage you to restore your faith. Be expectant, because what you're hoping for still might be a long way off, but I believe that it's about to come into view. It's about to come into your horizon. And when you see it, run towards it with everything that you have. So we go back to verse 20. It says, so he got up and he went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. And it says these words, it says, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. Here's the second thing that we can learn about the Father. The Father doesn't play by the rules. He doesn't play by the rules. You know, two things struck me when studying this scripture and reading this and looking deeper into the context of the story. Firstly, we see that the Father, he didn't wait for his son to get to him, but he left where he was and he ran towards the son. Now, in this time and this age, the first century Palestinian culture, it would have been frowned upon and considered shameful for a man of this age to run. Not only that, especially this father who is, we can see, is most noble and respected, it would have been really shameful. You know, you can imagine he would have worn this long gown that he would have had to pick up and hold as he's running. It would not have been a pretty sight. It would have been looked down upon. People would have said, you can't do that. The rules of normality, the rules of the culture and the society says you can't do it. But the father ignored the rules for the sake of his son. He didn't care who saw. He didn't care what people thought. His compassion moved him towards passion for his boy. We need to understand that God does not play by the rules of the world. God does not follow the culture of this day, but he follows a kingdom culture. He doesn't follow what people think or say should happen. He goes, is motivated by his compassion, which drives his passion for you and for me. He knows that you deserve to be punished for the sins that you've committed. That's what the law says. That's what the world says. But instead, he sent his son to take your place, to be punished in your place so that you wouldn't have to. You see, God's compassion for you moved him towards passion, a passion to see you saved, a passion to see you run towards him, to do whatever it takes to reach you, and so that you would return and come home. And when he does, he comes running after you. No matter the circumstances, no matter how great your sin is, and he throws his arms around you. Your father doesn't play by the rules. Here's the second thing. The father didn't care about his son's condition. He chose to embrace him, we see. He chose to kiss him. And we see in the story, before the son gets to the place where he's going to go back home, we see that he works as a pig feeder, probably smelling of pigs, probably his clothes filled with muck. Most likely he was filthy, and stench coming off him would have been reeking. He was stinking, and yet the father, he probably would have been able to smell his son a mile away, let alone see him a mile away. And I'm sure he would have maybe feeling like, you know, I'll just give him a wave, or I'll just give him a handshake. But even though he stunk, the father didn't care. He wasn't put off by the stench. He wasn't put off by the filth. He wasn't put off by how his son looked, but he simply wrapped his arms around him and he gave him a big kiss. And I want to say to you today that God is not put off by your stench. He is not put off by your sinful condition. He is not put off by how you look. He is not ashamed of you. In fact, he loves you. Even when you're covered in muck, even when you are damaged, even when you are broken, even when you have sinned and you're not good enough and you don't amount to anything, even when you don't have faith in him and you struggle in your doubt, even when you don't have faith in yourself, God has faith in you. He sees through your mess. He sees through your mask. And he loves every part of you. Even the ugly parts. He loves every part of you, no matter the sinful condition. He loves you even regardless of your past, and especially for your future. I want to encourage you, choose today, right now, to stop running away. Choose today to stop holding God off, to stop keeping him at arm's length, and allow him to wrap his arms around you with his love and his grace and his mercy. Listen to the rest of the story. Verse 21. The son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servant, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Here's the third thing that we can learn about the father and about the father's love. The father's response is always love. It is always love. You know, the Message translation of verse 22 says these words. It says, "The father wasn't listening." I love that. I love that because he knows what he's going to say even before his son opens his mouth. He had chosen his response even before his son's repentance. God the Father's response is always love and not punishment. We see that after the son confesses his sin, he admits of his wrongdoings, he admits that he is lost. The father, he cuts his son off even from being able to finish this speech that his son had prepared, and immediately restores this broken, sinful, and repentant man as his son. He immediately restores his lost son as found. The same way that he immediately restores you and me, as when we admit that we are lost, he restores us as found and forgiving. Not only that, but we see that the father then, he calls his servants to go and get the best robe. Now this robe, in this culture, in this day of the first century Palestinian culture, was known as the festive robe of honor. Now, this is an incredible picture because we have a son who has disgraced his father, a son who has disgraced his family's name, who deserves to be punished. He deserves to be sentenced at least to a life as a servant, and yet his father clothes him in honor. In doing so, position as a son. And the Greek word for honor is this word, timao. And it is the Greek word that is also used for the phrase to fix the value. So to honor someone is similar to increasing the value of someone, especially if it's someone who's feeling undervalued. So that means when I honor someone, I am increasing their value. I am leaving them feeling like they are valued. And so the son comes to his father and he says, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He says this, I have no value. And the father honors his son. He fixes the value that was lost and he makes a statement to his son and to everyone, even to us. My son dishonored me, but now I have honored him. My son was of no value, but now I have valued him. My son was lost, but now I have found him. My son was dead, but now he is alive again. And God, your Father, declares that you are valued. You are of value. You are of great value to him. What is the price of your value? What is the amount that he is willing to pay to restore your value, to declare you as found, to restore you, to be made alive again? He's willing to pay the greatest price. He's willing to pay the price of his own son, Jesus Christ, who he values, who he loves. He sacrificed his boy for the sake of your life. We see that he sent him to the cross to be despised and rejected, to take up your pain, to bear your suffering, to be pierced for your transgressions, to be crushed for your iniquities, so that his punishment would become your peace that would restore your value. And his word says, by his wounds, we are healed. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turn to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, just like the son, the lost son strayed away and became lost, we too have strayed away. We are lost without our Father. And so the Lord sent out a search party, and he laid the punishment of our sins upon his son, Jesus Christ, all so that he could find us, all so that we could be restored to him, all so that we could see our value is fixed and increased. And when he finds us, our Father comes running with open arms. You know, I've read this story many times, looked at it at different seasons of my life and tried to imagine myself in this moment. And now, as a dad of three boys, I can only picture the moment that the son comes home. I can only imagine what it was like for the father, his boy whom he loved, his boy who he'd seen grow up, maybe changing hundreds of nappies, maybe teaching him how to ride a bike, maybe teaching him how to be a man, and yet coming to a place where his son is now lost and he might never see him again. Then one day as he looks out, he looks out upon the horizon and he sees his son coming home. Can you imagine what that was like for him? The elation, the excitement, the emotion. You know, that's exactly the same passion and love that our Father has for us when we come home to him, when we return to him, and we were lost and now we become found. When we turn around and we come to our Father, that same emotion, that same excitement is the same that our Father has for us when he looks upon us and he sees us with his love and his grace and his mercy. Hey, would you just close your eyes right now where you are? I want to pray for you. God, I pray for every single person who is hearing my words, who's listening to my voice, and maybe the emotion is welling up within them as they too remind themselves of maybe how they've turned away, the loss that they've experienced, the pain that they've gone through, the suffering that they've gone through. But God, I pray today that even in their pain, even in the midst of their brokenness, that they would turn to you, that they would come home and they would open up those vulnerable parts of their heart and of their life, and they would allow you to bring healing to those areas. God, I pray for anyone who has a broken relationship with their earthly father, that they would not allow it to hinder their relationship with you as their father. And God, I pray that we would have a revelation of the Father's love. Hey, even with your head still bowed, your eyes still closed, I want to give you an opportunity today to pray a prayer of salvation. You may have never prayed this. You may have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Maybe you never did it. Maybe you've done it many times, but you know you've got to make it again. I want to encourage you, say these words with me today. Father, I'm sorry. I am lost. I need you. Forgive me. Save me. Find me. And help me as I follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you made that prayer? If you truly made that decision in your heart, your Father is celebrating right now. And that same emotion in which the Father saw his lost son come home is the exact same compassion and passion that your Father has when he looks upon you in your return. Hey, we'd love to help you in your next step as you make this decision today. We'd encourage you to go to openarms.ie/connect, and there you'll see a small form. You can just fill out your details and tick the box, I'm committing my life to Jesus. And we'll contact you this week through an email or text and get to meet you and hear your story on a Zoom group with myself and some of our staff to hear your story and help you in your next step and help you in this journey that you will continue to be committed to Jesus for the rest of your life. And before we enter this into this next worship song, I want to encourage you, stay online, is because we've got our kids' church coming up right after the end of this service. So grab your kids, get them ready for our kids' church. But let me just pray for you as we get ready to enter into our final song. God, I thank you for every single person that's tuned in to our service today. God, I pray that each of us who maybe has fallen away, who's allowed our relationship to grow stale and stagnant and lukewarm, that we'd start again, that we'd get reinvested, reinvigorated, and that you would restore our faith in Jesus' name. Amen.